Hello there, Healthcare Experience Matters listeners. We have two of the Healthcare Experience Foundation's finest with us today. We're talking with Dr. Rob Minkus and Robert Eisinger joining us. Robert Eisinger is the Chief Academic and Administrative Officer here at the Healthcare Experience Foundation, while Dr. Rob Minkus is a physician coach with us. But their backgrounds and their current professional roles are so dynamic. I want to actually turn the mic over to both of them and have them tell us a little bit about their professional background and all that their current professional role entails. Dr. Minkus, why don't you get us kicked off here?
Great. Thanks so much, Casey. Just happy to be here. So you said I'm a physician coach and also a consultant with the Healthcare Experience Foundation. And in my role, I've worked with physician and healthcare leadership teams, sort of building their leadership communication skills, and also worked on DEI initiatives. I have a background as a pediatric surgeon and a healthcare leader for over 20 years, and I currently serve as a professor and chief of specialty medicine at a brand new medical school called Orlando College of Osteopathic Medicine. So delighted to be here today.
I'm Robert Eisinger. I'm actually a political scientist by training. I got a PhD at the University of Chicago, and with a focus in American politics and public opinion and American political institutions. 6 years ago or so, I transitioned to the private sector, where I worked as a chief of staff of a research science team. And most recently, as you noted, Casey, the chief academic and administrative officer here at HXF, where I hope to bring some of those academic credentials and those organizational skills. Full disclosure, not only was I a professor, but I was also a dean for 7 years in arts and sciences. And as a result, I get really excited about, one, making teams better and improving organizations, but also the mission of HXF, which is about enhancing the delivery experience for patients and employees, nurses, doctors, et cetera. So that's my background. And as you can tell, they are much different from Dr. Minkus's, but in many ways, they complement them as well.
That's great. I think that will set the tone for this interview. And I asked you both on the show because there was a New York Times article that made the rounds, and a very, very popular article that a lot of people might not have gotten the chance to read because the New York Times does have the paywall model on their website. So I want to actually have you both describe to us the gist of this article that made the rounds in the medical community here and beyond. And then I want to also ask you about the letter to the editor that you both penned and actually got published in the New York Times. So let's start with summarizing the article that caught all of our attention here at the Healthcare Experience Foundation, and it was titled "The Unbearable Vagueness of Medical, Quote, Professionalism."
So there I was reading the Science Times, I don't know, a week or two ago. And there's this article about medical professionalism. And in a nutshell, and my summary would be a note that certain doctors, many but not all of whom were persons of color, were somehow deemed either unprofessional or dubiously deemed unprofessional based on things that had nothing to do with what they did in the doctor's office or the hospital. Most notably, visual images of them, sometimes taken by them, perhaps, for example, them wearing a bathing suit at the beach. And this, some studies done about whether or not they knew that people were looking at their websites, of their Instagram photos or whatever the social media post might be, and their reaction to saying, wait a second, professionalism is about what I do, not what I wear necessarily outside of the medical office. I was done reading it, and it didn't take long for me to say, I think there's a rebuttal required. And with that, I kind of welcome Dr. Minkus's summary and how it might differ from mine.
Yeah, no, I love that as a summary. And what I also love is the discussions and the dialogue that's coming to light, and whether it's professionalism or other topics. And as we've known over the last 4 years or so, because of the social, political, pandemic unrest, that we're having an opportunity to have discussion and dialogue and the things that it uncovers. So when we go back and look at traditional systems that are built and ingrained and developed a certain way, and we as part of that, right, develop those same ideas and biases, right, which is an area of our focus here at Healthcare Experience Foundation, it brings to light and a call to understand a little bit more of what those disparities are, right? Because there are disparities, and that's what this becomes all about. And we take an ambiguous definition or concept like professionalism and begin to apply it and apply it in an unequal manner. So I think that's what that brought to light. And this is our opportunity, all of our opportunity to participate and participate in the way that suits us best. And for us, it's a rebuttal, having dialogue, having discussion, and it's participating. It's participation, participation, participation in ways that we didn't do before, let's say, 4 years ago.
Completely agree. In fact, say, you know, more a letter, a response, right? Response. Is it real? Sometimes rebuttal comes off as pejorative. I'm not quite convinced I was, and we were in our response to them saying you're wrong, but it does raise more questions as they say, okay, now that we get, let's get past the attire question. There are still more questions to be addressed, including those that HXF do and work on and are fully committed to. And I'll say now, as you know, Dr. Minkus is all in on that, right? That's his meat and potatoes. That's his bread and butter. And it would almost behoove us not to respond given that article. What is professionalism? What is medical professionalism? What are the gauges? What are the metrics? How do you measure it? How do you know when it's up or down? How do you improve it? It was a Science Times article that provided some citations of articles about medical professionalism. And again, our responses, letter to the editor, you know, are kind of usually categorized. It's in the opinion section. If you go to the New York Times, letters to the editor are in various, you know, in the section listed as opinion, but it was a Science Times article.
And I'm actually going to go ahead and read your rebuttal in its entirety. It's not very long here, three paragraphs, and then I'm going to have you both kind of respond to this. So doctors and nurses have answered a calling to care, specifically in healing the sick. They don't think about whether their off-duty attire meets traditional definitions of appropriateness, even though some people think that is what defines or constitutes professionalism. But larger questions remain. How do we train medical professionals to be leaders in their field, to commence difficult conversations about death, to manage C-suite demands and requests, to work as a team with others, or to ease patients' concerns in a way that fosters compassion and trust? Hospital executives and medical staff leaders who invest in professionalism training will be rewarded with happier, healthier patients and doctors and nurses who bring joy and love to their work. And that is the op-ed rebuttal, I'm calling it, that was penned by both Dr. Minkus and Robert here. What fueled you? Any other reactions to that now that I've actually read it in its entirety?
Well, my first reaction is almost a conversation I've never had with Dr. Minkus, and that would be no doubt when you were in medical school, probably as a resident, maybe not, there was some discussion about bedside manner, but nonetheless, over time, you've taken it as a almost call of duty to understand better those kind of professionalism questions. As a pediatric surgeon, I'd be curious how you learned how to have some of those difficult conversations with parents, patients, and whether or not medical schools generally do a good job in cultivating those skills. Whether hospitals do a good job cultivating those skills. We know HXF does that, but I'm kind of curious about your sense of both personally and now years as a doctor, How do doctors learn how to have really challenging questions? Let's say if a patient passes away, or if somebody finds himself or herself in a traumatic episode.
Yeah, I love that, and even hearing the rebuttal, and I'll and address what Robert you said first, so I don't forget that. And so much of it is we go back to history of healthcare before it became this grand industry. There was a calling, and people went into it for a calling, and it was driven by certain things, some good and some not so good, that have perpetuated through the years. So you either might have been good about it because you were raised in a certain environment for that, or exposed to that and had the right mentors, or perhaps not and didn't develop the skills. As the stresses and pressures of healthcare have evolved, we know that that natural ability to be in touch with what our values are underneath. And I love our letter because we talk about joy and love. That's foundational under it all. It has nothing to do with whether we're wearing a tie or not, right? Someone's not going to see me as being compassionate or not because I'm wearing a tie, though maybe I'll look stiff, right? And not loosen up. So that answer is, we didn't treat it with intention. We didn't treat it with joy and love to nurture it to be a part of what we do in an intentional fashion. And that's the important role I do believe that we play and having the dialogue and helping others to do that. So both on helping others get back to that, but helping those in the beginning on their journey to stay in touch with that and develop as part of what they come. So it should be as important in the education process as, if I'm going to be a surgeon, as the technical, or even more important, right? Who we are, how we interact with others is probably the most important aspect of what we do. So I hope that answered your question somewhat.
Yeah, I think it did. And it's really kind of exciting and interesting when it was time for us to load up on the Zoom. I intentionally didn't wear a tie, right? I was thinking, wait a second, am I going to come off in a different way if I wear a tie? Maybe I just a sport jacket will work. And I'm so grateful you did, because I think it does raise the questions exactly that our letter addresses, right? What is it? Is it, am I less professional wearing a blazer without a tie? Are you more professional? Or do we really need to think about, maybe you've got some skills I don't have and I've got some skills you don't have. But when it comes to medical professionalism, you've got the expertise. You've dealt with those parents and patients in ways that I just haven't. And you know how to have that. You communicate that in a way I have no such training for. But it's really important that doctors and nurses and others learn those skills.
Right. Yeah. And I love that point as well, because if you were to ask me, how do I know what the patient needs? So we come from a long history of telling the patients what they need versus asking them and learning and that's cultural humility and understanding what they need. And that goes back to professionalism, because we know there are better outcomes in communities if they have physicians who are more like them. And we do, to, as that article points out, you know, there are disparities and there are still obstacles and uphill journeys in order to work on those disparities. So again, it becomes to, you know, I was raised in a generation and still in healthcare where it's very traditional and it looks a certain way, right? And that, to our the point, maybe doesn't need to be the question, and then redefining of what's most important, and then how do we know?
And I want to, as we work towards wrapping up here, ask you about that professionalism training that was mentioned at the end of this editorial, op-ed, reply, letter to the editor, whatever you want to call it. Tell me about how you envision professionalism training contributing to the overall well-being of both medical practitioners and the patients they serve, which is what we're all here for.
You know, the professionalism training, and I think we talk about training, and it goes back to, you know, I could put on our coaching hat and our coaching model at Healthcare Experience Foundation, which is really grounded in, you know, personal and interpersonal growth, which requires, you know, growing our self-awareness, our open-mindedness, our knowledge, practicing skills, giving and receiving feedback and lifelong learning. And this is about all of those things. And then defining what we need together to ensure everybody's well-being, right? Especially the patients, their families, the communities, but ourselves and the healthcare community. And that's where we can, you know, redefine what professionalism means in terms of those outcomes. How are we relating to ourselves? How are we relating to each other? And ensuring that we have the best possible outcomes. So for me, it comes down to that reframe and getting to those deeper levels. And, you know, these types of articles are important for discussion and participation. I'd love to hear, Robert, what you think.
Yeah, no, I just, first of all, agree with everything you said and just compliment it and just add a couple of things. One, it's an ongoing conversation, right? You know, it's not as simple as like, if you just do A, B, and C, everything will be solved. If you do A, B, and C, technology still evolves, society still evolves, institutions still evolve. Now I'm going to sound like a political scientist. Behavior and institutions intertwine and they evolve. So as we evolve, so do they. And it requires a concentrated effort. It requires focus and attention and priming your brain to think about these things in ways that we don't always do. And I would just add, HXF does it really well, right? One of the things, we have an academy, we have videos. We also do the kind of certifications about leading physician leadership and having conversations about professionalism in all the ways Dr. Mink has just described. So I would only say yes to everything. And it starts with maybe even putting it on your radar, moving it from the back of the brain to the front of the brain. And then all of a sudden, maybe the next step is a little reflection. And then maybe the next step is a little conversation with a colleague at the water cooler. And then maybe the next conversation is talking to your chief medical officer. And then in the process, hopefully HXF is part of that conversation as well. But, you know, like it almost starts internally, as Dr. Minka said. Let's think about this. What does professionalism mean to me? How does it relate to me, not just that? And then all of a sudden, the conversation evolves in a positive way.
It's been a great discussion. I'm not surprised. We have with us today Dr. Rob Minkus and Robert Eisinger. And as I do towards the end of all these discussions, I leave the guest with the opportunity to provide our audience with any other words of value that you just didn't have time to squeeze in anywhere else in this interview. So I will turn the mic over to you both for one last time here.
I could start. I think it's an opportunity. And when we see opportunities, it's our responsibility then to participate and to know about ourselves and our relationship to a situation. So whether you read that article, you read the response or listen to this podcast, knowing how we feel and react to it. And then I love what you pointed out, Robert, being intentional, bringing it from the back to the front and reframing it is the real opportunity. And that's what's so exciting about the work that we do at Healthcare Experience Foundations and know the impact we make when we work with others. So I'm really grateful for this opportunity of having the discussion with you. And as always, the great questions and facilitation, Casey.
That was so beautifully worded. I almost am remiss trying to get in the last word. So let me just say, like Dr. Minkus, it's a great conversation. It's a wonderful opportunity. I'm also grateful for having this opportunity to have this podcast. And let's just say, as Dr. Minkus said, it's about engagement. I used to say the same thing when I was in the classroom teaching American politics. I'm not going to make you vote. I'm not going to make you write a letter. I'm not going to make you protest. I'm not going to make you endorse a policy position or give a certain amount of money to a cause, but I want you to think about it. I want you to think about what interests you, what engages you, what excites you. And I hope that there's a doctor or a nurse or a healthcare worker somewhere listening to this who's excited about the conversation about what constitutes professionalism. And if he or she remains interested and engaged, they can continue by looking us up, going to our website, having more dialogue, talking to more people, and it's a win-win-win for everybody.
Folks, you've been listening to Dr. Rob Mankus. He is a physician coach here at the Healthcare Experience Foundation. And Robert Isinger, he is your chief academic and administrative officer here at the Healthcare Experience Foundation. I'll also provide a direct link to that article as well. And Dr. Mankus mentioned cultural humility. We have a fantastic podcast, an article on the Healthcare Experience Foundation website about that with Tiffany Cheney, and I will link to that as well. And of course, healthcareexperience.org is the website. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Healthcare Experience Matters. Healthcare Experience Matters is brought to you by the Healthcare Experience Foundation. To learn more, please visit healthcareexperience.org. That's healthcareexperience.org.